Okay, if anyone can hear me, then I greet you listeners and welcome you to the third developer for CCP Games. And now tonight's topic is kind of cool as it's all about heat and everything that we can or cannot relate to it. First, I would like to introduce you to the team that will be talking on behalf of CCP, which includes myself. Hi, I am Tom B, lead designer of Evil Line and responsible for anything that can be physically related to the gameplay mechanics and is supposed to be fun. Talking with me in this session are Tuxford, Moss, and Fendel, old gentlemen from the game design department. Let's get to hear how they sound like and in alphabetic order. Over to you, Tuxford.
Hello, my name is Tuxford. I've been with CCP since 2005, summer of 2005. My official title now is technical designer. I do a little bit of game design, a little bit of programming, and a little bit of number crunching on balancing. I've been doing kind of balancing work since I started from 2005, and I've just recently started doing programming, and I'm mostly responsible for heat.
Right, that was Tuxford. Next on our menu is Moss. This is a new guy here in our game design department, and his first also session in the media, so please be gentle with him. Moss, say something.
Hi, I'm Ivar, or Noss, the newest member of the game design team and a member of the Uber balancing team that consists of us four that are here tonight. I've been a member of the cell for exactly 1 month now, and I haven't been fired yet, so I guess I'm doing an okay job. I came pretty late into the heat design process, but I've been doing a lot of work on it, so I hope I can answer most, if not all, of your questions.
Thank you, Noss. And for dessert, we have Fendel, or Dr. Fendel, as we call him. Fendel, make them feel your voice.
Hello, I'm Fendel, or also known as Carl around here. I joined CCP 2 months ago, and have been working with Huni, Tom B, and the other guys for over 3 years on balancing. And that's basically also what I'm doing right now in the game design.
Okay, all is right. There you have it. Now we have already lost enough time in this introduction, so I think it's best we move over to the discussion of the topics. We will be speaking out a series of questions that have been picked out of the forums and give you the answers to them. So I think there's just nothing else to tell but just go on to the first question. So, is heat going to be another manageable resource of your ship similar to capacitor, where you can switch from OLED modules for small benefits and cooling it down before they start getting damaged? Kristin will take on this one.
Yeah, I guess the short answer is really no. It's not really manageable in the sense that you can kind of maintain the status quo by overloading your modules for a little time and then stop overloading them to get the benefits without really hurting your models. There's always a chance that your modules will get damaged once you start overloading them. At the beginning, it's very little chance when the heat is low, and as it increases, the chances of damaging your modules also increases. But it's not really that you can it's I'd like to say it's not sustainable, certainly not on Tech One and Tech Two ships. The reason for that is that we think we have quite enough micromanagement already with Eve. We got the capacitor, and I don't really see a reason to make another kind of capacitor gameplay, which and we also have like drones, and then you're managing your tank and everything. We don't really need another thing to worry about, so it's more of a thing that you use in a pinch, where you really, you see you gotta overload, you gotta risks destroying your modules to get out of it. So that's really so no short answer, long answer, a bit more vague.
Thank you. To add to that is also if we're also looking this from new player experience that coming to EVE is complex. There's a lot of complexity, and especially in combat, there's a lot to learn. And heat, if it would be, something that would be manageable, would be required, especially for the new players also to learn to be able to participate in like against the like older players. So This is another major reason why we did not go to this manageable resource way for heat.
If I can add to that, yeah, I don't know how many of you that are listening tonight are new players, but I bet every single one of you, when you were started, ran into the problem that they were fighting and they ran out of cap and they either lost their ship or got away with little or no hull.
Well, not me though, but yeah.
Well, you're Uber.
I think you just died.
Yeah,
anyway. So, next question. This is sorry I didn't mention the poster of the first question, and I even don't have it, but the second one is from Targon 2, and it says, what is being done to make sure that heat is an optional play tactic and not a must to be competitive? And yeah, well, I'm sorry, but we kind of just answered that question, and so, yeah. I think so. Right?
If I can talk a little bit about that as well, it's when you're talking about must to have in reality, this does make your ship a little bit better for a little time, and you can always argue that such a thing is a must have. So there's somewhere a line which is really blurry where a feature is a must have feature which you just must do to participate or not. So. I mean, it is better. I don't think it's so that you can't really, you might as well stay at home if you can't do it. So, and I think we have achieved that.
Yes, we definitely have. And this is the way we have always aimed with heat. We have never wanted to add more complexity to combat. And yes, okay. On to next question. This is from Doomed Predator. And he's asking if every module will have the ability to overheat. And Nas will be answering that question.
Okay, no, eventually maybe, but for now we're only doing all turrets, all launchers, Nosferatu, energy neutralizers, afterburners, micro warp drives, ECM, ECCM, all active hardeners, shield boosters, armor repairers, remote repairers, and warp scramblers, webbies, which will be extremely cool, and yeah, I think that's everything. Those are just active modules. We're planning on doing some other cool stuff with passive modules after Kelly 2, but we'll just start with that. I think we only have like one passive module now that actually affects heat, and that's the shield boost amplifier, which increases the heat damage on the shield boosters, so makes it blow up faster.
Hey, thank you. Yes, to add to that is that these modules are either damage-dealing modules or defense-based modules, like boosting your shield or another one's shield, and also electronic warfare-based modules. We are taking the heat into EVE in phases, and to do all the modules in the game will take a lot of time. And we had originally planned to do three phases for Kali 2, or Revelations 2, sorry. And we'll only be getting two phases in for now, and that's the damage dealing and defense based in first half and electronic warfare in a second. And then for the third one, we'll start getting out in patches after Revelations 2, and we're not going to aim for the next bulk to come into our next expansion. So. Don't be patient, and you will be seeing your most favorite module coming in soon. Next question is from Dr. Ariandi, and he's asking us what sort of game UI we're going for with heat, and how can we adjust individual modules and easily see the heat status of the ship without overloading the game UI. Some of you have probably seen it already on the test server, but it has not been completely finalized yet. And Kristin, can you maybe share a little bit about the user interface?
Yeah, I'll try. It's kind of hard without actually showing you an image. But if you have the capacitor in the HUD in front of you, there are going to be little gauges. Is that the kind of correct pronunciation? I think so. There's going to be a little gauges above the capacitor, and below the hull in that little area, three of them, one for each rack, and that's gonna show you the heat status. Around each module, there's displayed the damage state of the module, I mean how much it is damaged. Currently it's blinking a lot, and that annoys the living hell out of Tom B. And also there's, for to show that the module is actually overloaded, there's like a little green bar at the top of the module. That bar is a little small, that's something that we wanna display more, make more obvious to the players. And then there's also the fact that how you overload them. You can click the little bar above the module, which is hard to see, and you gotta be played FPS for a long time to be able to click them effectively. We also have a right click option that allows you to overload the whole rack. We currently don't have option to stop overloading the whole rack, but that's definitely a possibility. That's about it. That should kind of give you an image on how it looks.
Definitely an option ability. We really need to get that stop or overload all the rack. And
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
We are going to get some kind of a button or something like that, some easy way to overheat the entire rack, something more simple than a right-click menu. And yes, it's. I think it will be needed. It will be very, very cool to have something just to, like, you know, if you have like 8 guns, you want to overload them all. You don't want to, like, you know, go to some right-clicking or select them each one by one and then activate them. Yada yada. So,
well.
Yeah,
people
there are
do
a couple
seem
more
to like.
Go on.
Sorry, should I? People do seem to like to change all the crystals. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Manually. No, it's not.
Yeah,
they hate it.
Yeah. Uh huh. Well, anyway, there are more improvements I will be doing to the user interface. The final version is not the current one that you're looking on the tester. And we'll hopefully be getting something more into our test server next week. So just stay tuned and just keep on watching and giving us feedback on user interface. All right. Next question is one second. Is from Hunlight Faithus. And he's asking, do different mods have different thresholds to heat, so you can overload some mods more than others? And Noss, can you answer that question for me?
Sure can, Tom B. Most of the modules are pretty balanced out in regards to heat sustainability. There are some exceptions though, like the microwave drive and the afterburner. They heat up much faster than everything else, and also do more damage to your modules. This is due to them being so uber when they are overheated. Also, there are some modules that have very high hit points and thus don't get offlined when they take damage. So they don't go down to zero hit points. Because we don't want people to offline, for example, siege modules and super weapons and stuff like that. But basically, everything is pretty balanced out.
Yes, and like Noss also said, there are some that are going to be like, you know, a little bit cooler in heat. And the example that he took from Microwave Drive and Afterburner is, for example, if you are in deep bleep and someone has you like, you know, double stasted or something like that, and you really want to get out of the range and there's nothing you can do, then overheat your Microwave Drive and just like, boom, and you're gone. Okay, next question is from Treelux. And he's asking, will heat be available for my Roid stripper? Okay, this is probably a mining laser. It's not a stripper or anything like that. My asteroid mining laser. Or is there another case of where the ship-to-ship combat gets all the love and us more passive types gets nada? So he's talking about the industrial people not getting anything with heat. Kristin, Tuxford, can you share us a little bit on this?
Yeah, we have actually derailed quite a few design meetings talking about mining and heat. For me, the current design doesn't really make sense for mining, in the sense that when do you ever think, oh, I gotta get that last bit of roid? and want to sacrifice your Roy miners. It just doesn't make sense. But that doesn't mean that we don't want to do it. We've talked about, and we had few ideas where you should need to overload your modules for a little while to get through some stuff or whatever like that. I very much like to introduce heat to the to miners, but at the current version of heat, how it is right now, it doesn't make sense. But I definitely want to see that.
Yes. Yes, this was discussed back and forth, and the conclusion was that we didn't just have enough time to pick out each module, because each of them would really need something like a unique case. And like also Christian said, how often would you be, you know, hearing someone yell, like, hurry up, overheat the mine glaciers, we need the ore in no less than 50 minutes so we can start building the Titan for the war that will be taking place in 1 month and 50 minutes. So each one will have something unique, that is our desire at least, and there have been some ideas like this being something for resource gathering for Tech 3 or, you know, something like that. So truly sorry, but not for now. And but also, as Nos told you before, heat will gradually be coming in, and this will be coming in sometime later. Okay, next. Next question here is called Dwindlehop. It's probably from the Netherlands. And he's asking, will there be ways to manage your heat apart from not overloading your modules? Will your opponent be able to affect your heat level? And Nos, can you do that?
Yeah, we don't have anything like that planned for Kali 2, but we'll probably start working on something right after the patch. Both modules that will increase heat creation on your opponent's ship and decrease heat creation on your own ship. We've also discussed on making modules that increase the hit points of your modules, like the old damage control. That's at least something I definitely want to see again.
Thank you. And I hope that answered the question. Everyone's question already? That answered mine. Next is, again, Tarkon2, who had the second question here, and he's saying, combat is still fast, and lower frame rates make module by module changing annoying now. For example, changing crystals on 8 lasers can take me a full minute or more if I'm lagging a bit from too many missiles. Is heat going to be an on-the-fly adjustment that could be too much of a bother, or will it be a setting that people change for combat and leave alone? This is more of a something that people will be putting and leaving alone. This is not... Wait a minute, am I getting this question wrong? No, okay. Yeah, this is something that people, we see as people using when they just really, really need it and have no other option available to them. So, yes, yes, exactly. For, you know, like, yeah, Tuxford already took some of that with also the crystal changing, so he ruined that question. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Nah, no problem. But, yeah, so... Something that will be used when you really, really need it, either to kill that guy or to save your ship while someone is coming in. But this is not something that people will be turning on and off. And there will still be an easy way to do it with overload an entire rack. So, for example, if you really need to defend yourself, you just overheat the entire defensive rack that you're using. Or if you are trying to jam him and that's the only way for you to get his warp scrambler off you or something like that, you just like overheat your jammers or whatever you want to. But yeah, not the way that's... Yes. Okay, next question is from Quarium Key, and he asks if the entire heat idea sounds... No, he says the entire heat idea sounds cool, but at the same time it just seems like another optional cost for lag. Yes. We already have the gang bonus that seems to cause lag. Won't this add to the problem? Tuxford.
Yeah, that's a very, very good question, and it is something that we put as a requirement when we started doing that. It must not add load to the server. And it really isn't, but I don't really expect you to take my word on that, so I'll explain a little bit why it's not adding lag. Adding heat to the rack is really only happens when you actually overload the module. It just modifies a value once, and after that it's all calculated from when it was last modified and what state it was in then. That's pretty much the same as we have with the capacitor, which really isn't adding a load at all. The other part is really the damage dealing part, and maybe it would add load if it was moving stuff around in the database, but since the DOM module isn't really destroyed but just offlined and you can't online it again unless it's been fixed, then it's not really adding any. These are of course extra calculations, but in the amount that calculations are made every single cycle, this is just a drop in the ocean. So I hope that puts your minds at ease, and it, but certainly if we see it's adding load from of because of some unexpected thing that we didn't foresee, then we definitely will address the issue before it goes live. I hope this really calms you down about that. It's not really adding load I can see at all.
Thank you. And just also to add, if you were listening to the first live dev blog we had here, Hammerhead mentioned that the first priority of this release is improving the stability of the server, and so it's of course still the number one priority, and we're not going to be ruining that with a feature that is a lower set in the priority list than when fixing the stability of the server. And also, damage to modules has always been in there, and it just has not been active for quite a while. People maybe have been noticing still that somehow modules have been getting damaged when they try to repackage the ship or something like that, or they would have to repair the modules. And this was a feature that we had in way, way back, and modules would normally go to zero damage in combat, and it wouldn't have any effect. It wouldn't like get destroyed or anything like that. And so, yeah, this has always been in the back of the game, but we're just like finally just like utilizing this feature now. Okay. Next question is, oh my god, again from Turgon2. He asked, "Will thermal damage affect heat from modules, making it riskier?" Yes, of course. And the only way to cool down the module again then is to get hit by snowballs that will make modules cool down. No, that's not the truth.
I would
And
love
no.
to get that in.
Yes. Anyway, thermal damage will not affect heat from modules. But, you know, maybe someday. Okay, next question is from Magnus, and he asks, "Is heat equivalent to Tech3? It doesn't sound like there will be new modules associated with heat, just the ability to modify existing modules slightly. So does heat have anything to do with industry, beyond increasing demand for some things by blowing them up by overclocking?" Tuxford.
Yeah, heat is not equivalent to Tech3, but it's very much linked to Tech3. Well, I can say that when Tech3 isn't out, but that was always the plan, that Tech3 would have increased heat abilities. There, like I said before, there will be modules, but they won't be in Revelation 2. Go into that. We haven't really finalized anything about that yet. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be a lottery though, but and the manufacturing was really not one of my expertise or anything. So yeah, Tech3 very much linked to heat, and there will be manufacturing involved obviously. So yeah, I hope that answers that question a little bit.
Thank you, and I might maybe add a little bit to that because I am kind of into industry and this kind of stuff, and No, it will not be a lottery. We are removing the lottery from the game at some point, and yes, I don't know why you were talking about it, but yeah, I'll still answer that, what you were asking about. Okay, next question is from Digital Reaper and Digital Reaper. If modules are heavily damaged, will this increase their chance of being destroyed with the ship? If so, is there anything being done to stop people purposely damaging the modules so that most all of them will be destroyed if they die, leaving the attacker with very little to show off for the trouble? No, that is not the case, and that will not be the case. That's the only profit, basically, that PvPers, yeah, pirates can be having from other players. Of course, the only thing else would be cargo, but that would mean that PvP in general would not be profitable unless you are ganking a freighter or an industrial or something like that. Unless, of course, you have someone to salvage with you, but that's not a whole nother issue. But the modules will also not be getting destroyed, as been mentioned a couple of times now, and they will only get damaged to 0 hit points, and then they will just be forced offline. And the only way to get them back online is to repair them. And that leads to the next question, is how will modules be repaired? And I have no idea who asked that question, but I know who's going to be answering that, and that is Moss. Go ahead.
Modules will only be repairable at stations and outposts for now at least. We might add some other way to repair modules, perhaps some like remote module repairer that takes forever to repair. We might even have it consume minerals or something very cool. But like I said, for Kali 2, you'll only be able to repair your modules at stations.
Thank you. And the biggest reason for this is just to add a little bit of ISK sync into the game. We don't have enough of them in EVE, and this is, will not be game breaking or anything like that. You'll be paying very little for repairing your modules. But yeah, be cool to let this remote module repair consume ISK. That would be cool. Okay, anyway, next question is from Aaron, and he says, I've heard it said somewhere that with the implementation of heat, Amar will have some kind of ability to handle it better than other races. Is this true? Our weapon mods are heat sinks after all. And Nos, he will ask that question. Answer.
At the moment, we don't have anything planned. There are just been some talks about it, but we haven't really decided on anything yet. So I guess you'll just have to wait and see. But we're definitely doing something about Amar for Kali 2, and I think I'll just allow Carl to tell you about that.
Then over to Fendel. Tell us what we have done so far that might help Amar a little bit in the Harvest World.
Yes, so first of all, we've increased tracking on pulse lasers by 25% across the board. This enables pulse lasers to better compete against blasters and autocannons at close range. The blasters and autocannons still perform better at close range, but the increased tracking on the pulse lasers sort of narrows the gap. Another thing is that we've been looking at medium beam lasers, which currently are very hard to fit on frigates, and we've reduced the grids need on those from 16 to 13 on Tech 2, and similarly for Tech 1, in order to make them a more viable option for Amar frigates. Also, we've looked at energized membranes, which currently require 2 megawatts power to fit, which is sort of a nerf to frigates. So we reduced that to just a single megawatt, like most of the other classless modules. And then finally, we've been looking at the Omni tank. So one issue is that the armor focuses very heavily on EM damage, and this, in combination with the prevalence of armor tanking in PvP, leads to some problems. Armor has a natural high resistance against EM damage, and energized adaptive nanomembranes are very useful for many setups because they provide a very good benefit for not that much resource cost and fitting. So this in turn means that many ships, when you encounter them in PvP situations, have a very high EM resist, and this is a problem for Amar because they focus on EM damage, particularly at longer ranges. So in order to encourage pilots to use single resist hardeners rather than sort of these omni hardeners, we have increased the CPU on energized adaptive nanomembranes to 36 teraflops on Tech 2, and we reduced the CPU requirements of active hardeners to also 36 teraflops.
Thank you. And yes, many have probably seen that if you look at the shield instead of armor, you have like the invulnerability field, which would be causing the same if everyone would be using the invulnerability field. But this module is almost only usable by ships that are battleship size or bigger. It's really hard for cruisers to use them, and close to impossible for frigates. But there's no equivalent in a passive module for that, so we are not seeing the same scenario. And this, in our opinion, will probably do a lot if the energized adaptive nano membrane will not be better, just to say, better than the other armor resistance-based modules. So we'll still we're going to be asking players for a lot of feedback on this, and yeah. Okay, and hopefully we'll be able to do this right. Anyway, on to the next. We want to talk a little bit about something that is not entirely related to heat, like Fendel just did with Amar. So there's another hot topic that has been quite popular on the forums, and that is about the scanning and scanning cloak ships. And that is not coming in Kali 2, or Revelations 2, I'm sorry. But we are still going to continue looking at this, and we feel that the cloaking device being just a module that makes you invulnerable, and you can just move away from the computer for eternity while you're cloaked, is not cool. And we'll be doing something to it later on, you know, maybe have a limit to how long you can cloak for a given time or something like that, whatever. We will address this later on, and we won't be doing it the wrong way, so just relax on this matter. It's not going to get done yet. And another thing that is also going to be quite a lot of discussion. Oh, it's capital ships currently in EVE, and some that are causing some problems, which is mostly like the Mothership and Titans. And I'm just going to make it short and just tell you what we have already done. You can jump scramble these ships with Interspear bubbles and warp disrupt bubbles. Secondly, the remote doomsday device has been removed. Just a remote one. And thirdly, using the doomsday device will make you unable to jump whatsoever for 10 minutes. Yes, thank you very much. Okay. Now, there's more we have to talk about that is coming in, and maybe something that people will be loving, like, you know, some people might not be loving these capital nerfs. One of them is stealth bombers. We have been rebalancing them and giving them a new ability. Fendel is again the man to thank for all that, and can you share a little details on what has changed with the bombers?
I certainly can. So one thing we've done is add the bombs to stealth bombers. So bombs are basically sort of similar to a probe. You launch them, and then they sit there for 15 seconds, and then they detonate and cause some effect within 15 kilometers. And the effect comes in three different flavors. So one is damage, which basically just do damage to all ships within range. The damage is reduced based on signature radius, so frigates take less damage, unless of course they use micro warp drives, which is kind of silly when the bomb goes off. Also we have ECM bombs, which act sort of like an ECM burst, which can be very powerful to break locks on dreadnoughts, for example. And we also have an energy drain bomb, which also is based on signature radius, in order to not nerf frigates too much. Yeah, so that basically just neutralizes a portion of the cap of all ships within range. We've also been looking at rebalancing the stealth bombers to fit this new role, because at the moment, as they are in Tranquility, the Manticore, the Caldari stealth bomber is quite overpowered in relation to the others. So we've added 3 launcher slots to all of them, and also a special roll bonus that decreases the power grid need just as much as the Manticore gets on the Tranquility at the moment. So they can all use the 3 cruise missile launchers. And we also increased the cruise missile damage they do by 25% across the board, in addition to the single damage type bonus they get per covered ops level. This single damage type bonus also now affects bombs, the damage bombs, so that becomes quite powerful. The damage bombs have 6,400 hit points worth of damage at the base, so that could be increased up to 8,000 with a max level. So that's basically what we've been doing for stealth bombers.
Thank you very much. And yes, you've also been messing a little bit with the logistic ships, which should make them both more powerful and both aiding or logistishing, as we call it, and survivability. Can you also tell us what the actual changes that we're going to be seeing for them?
Yes, so one of the problems now at Tranquility is that it's actually possible to fit large shield transporters on the Basilisk, the Caldari logistic ship, but it's not possible to fit a full rack of remote armor repair systems on the MR version, for example. So we've addressed this by adding fitting bonuses to all the logistic ships. So now the Scimitar, the Minmatar logistic ship on the Basilisk, get a CPU reduction to shield transporters, and the MR and the Galenda versions get a grid reduction to remote armor repair systems. So this allows them a larger throughput of repair, and also a much greater range which they can repair within. I think it's about 70 kilometers, 71 or something like that. And the range has also been increased, the lock range, so they can actually utilize the full range of the remote repair systems. Another thing we've been doing is to increase the secondary bonuses, or secondary logistic bonuses, to be equal to the primary ones. So for example, the Guardian now has a very powerful bonus also to remote armor repair systems, just like the Oneris had, or has still, and well, across the board. So basically this makes them much more powerful as repair platforms. We've also increased the resistances so they can better survive all the damage they will be taking, because they usually always get called primary. So they have basically hack level resistances now. And also as a small bonus, we have increased the drone space on them and given them bonuses to repair amounts on shield and armor maintenance bots. This is not really quite as effective as the remote armor repair systems and shield transporters, but it can sort of help in a pinch at closer range where you can actually use the drones. So that's basically it for logistics.
Okay, thank you very much, Fendel. And that's it basically for the questions that we have been pulling from the forums, but we will now be answering question that have been coming in while we have been doing this dialogue. And the first question that I want to forward is for Nos to answer, and it's just a general one, and it's just because it's something that people want to know, and he did it, he's responsible for it, the change that just happened. And he's asking, how come the Drake passive tank will out-tank even a battleship? That is exactly what you just changed. Can you tell us a little bit on that change, Moss?
Is he asking why it's still overpowered, or what? I didn't quite get the question.
Yeah, it's like that.
Well, it shouldn't be. When battle cruisers were created, their shields were increased by a lot, and I think just somebody forgot to tweak the shield recharge times. So basically those have been fixed a bit now and are up to 1400 and should be a bit better. Also we did some CPU changes on both shield recharger modules, so it should be better.
Thank you. Next question that we have gotten is, one second, I'm scrolling through, there's so much stuff, and one question here that, yes, I would like to answer is, will the drone regions be giving any boosts, like booster comps or something? For now we have been working a lot on fixing the drone regions, and by that I'm talking about the asteroid belts and also the fixing the exploration sites, which have been quite broken, or at least quite not there. They have been there, but they have not been scannable, which was a really not funny mistake by Half, and these fixes are all coming with revelations too. And the maybe most noticeable thing to talk about is the higher end ore will be a little bit bigger, or at least quite bigger, in the 8 new regions. For example, if you find an Arcanor stone, he will be less common, so not every single Astro Belt will have one, but once you find it, it will be quite bigger. And yes, there we have it. But for a future reference, we are going to be doing more things for the drone regions that we currently only have. Above anything else is of course the alloys, which are refinable for a lot of minerals, and also the salvage materials. But we are also going to be adding more, in, for example, something similar to hacking sites or archaeology sites, which are found in other regions, which will give the player other resources that are not used entirely just for normal manufacturing. Okay. Next question is. One second, I have it here behind my client. Okay, next question is from Sergeant Blade. He asks, so the Tech 3 may be mods that withstand heat longer and to be able to overload for longer. Tuxford, can you maybe just share a little bit what direction Tech 3 is going to be, what we have been working on so far? Just sure, a little bit.
On about Tech 3, or?
Yes.
Well, there's not really that much I can say about Tech 3. Obviously, survival of the module, more hit points, less heat generations for the modules, and maybe even bigger bonuses for being in overloaded state, so they would actually not be better or even worse than Tech 2 in non-overloaded state, but once you overload them, they become better, but you can't run them like that infinitely. So there's also some more crazy thing going on, which I'm not really sure I should be going into right about now.
No, okay.
Since we haven't really...
Okay, another thing I would like to add also about the heat and the passive modules in general. As Moss mentioned before, there's one passive module that will be doing something with heat. This is a passive, shield boost amplifier. It's the only passive module that will be doing something, and it will increase the heat damage generated by shield boosters. And that is something we are also going to be doing quite a lot of. We are going to be in the future passive modules might add or reduce heat generation of some modules. For example, heat sinks might be adding more heat to guns instead of cooling them, or vice versa. You know, you never know what will happen. But something that will be increasing the efficiency of a general module, this is a general idea that it will be also increasing the heat usage. So if you're specializing in one direction, like going for a gag setup, you will also be having less of heat possibility for that specific setup. Okay, next question is about the one thing that we did not mention, and it's the triage mod, which is a new feature, and which is for capital ships, only carriers and motherships. Fendel is the guy behind that, and he's going to be sharing a little bit of what that is and what's the plan for that module.
Okay, so basically the triage module is sort of like a siege module, but for carriers instead. And instead of boosting damage on the fighters, it completely removes the offensive capabilities of the carrier in return for increased logistics capabilities. So basically you boost the transfer rate and also the transfer amount on all logistic modules, such as shield transporters and armor repair systems, which allows you to help your mates quite quickly. And also we boost the locking time on the by 10 times, which allows you to actually lock them and help them in time before they actually get killed. An additional benefit is that you become invulnerable to electronic warfare, so your enemies can't sensor dampen you, which is quite a problem for logistics at the moment. So the drawbacks of this mode is that you're stuck, as for Dreadnoughts in Siege mode, for 10 minutes, and you cannot be helped by other logistics ships, so remote assistance is not permitted. So you sort of have to make a tactical decision whether you want to commit for 10 minutes and get the enhanced logistic capabilities, or whether it's not worth the risk.
Thank you. And now on to more questions from the players. Marlona Sky asks, will a skills be introduced to reduce the effect of heat, skill or skills, yes, of heat when modules are set on overcharge or load? Kristin, Tuxford, can you answer that one?
Yeah, I probably should have mentioned it earlier when we were talking about modules, but there's going to be one skill called thermodynamics, and what that does is it reduces the damage that is done to the modules. So basically, if you have that at level 5, you get a 25% reduction in damage, which would allow your modules to survive about 33% longer. So yeah, that's one skill that is definitely coming out.
But in general, there are not more than just a single skill coming out in Revelations Part 2. And we don't know for certain if you're going to be releasing more skills, but at the moment it looks more like we want to put a focus on getting more modules to have the heat ability rather than more skills. Yes.
Can I elaborate? Sorry, go ahead.
Sure, if you have something to say about this, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, to be able to overload your modules, you need to have the thermodynamic skill at a certain level. So, at the CC now, I just had the operations give you all that skill to level 5, so you wouldn't be stopped from testing the stuff because you didn't have the skill, but in general, you'll have to need to train the skill. I'm done, by the way.
Okay, thanks. One more thing that I would like to add that we did not mention, because it didn't come to questions, but yes, we of course have to mention this. The ability to overheat your modules and the different sizes of ships is of course different, and what happens when a frigate with three turret slots overheats them all versus a battleship with eight guns, and what happens to non-sized modules like, you know, carb recharger and something like that that all ships will be using. We have changed to this a little bit, and what is going to be coming in Revelations 2 is something that Nas is going to be sharing his knowledge on.
Well, basically, we have a modifier on the ships based on the size, like frigates, cruisers, and battleships, and capital ships all have different modifiers, which basically, yeah, balances this out. It's based on how many slots they have and stuff like that. So yeah, I basically don't have anything more to say about that.
Okay, fine. Next question is Sergeant Blade, from Sergeant Blade. He's asking, will logistic ships be able to fit the six large shield transporters? Well, depends, of course, on what kind of a logistic ship, of what kind of module we'll be using, and still be able to not run out of cap. Yes, and then he says the Basilisk, because I'm only possible to get three on fine, which I could have done without the change. This won't change that, but of course, if you're going for such a setup, this is more thought of a dual for duelists, so you could be using cap transfers and having another Basilisk on your side and be boosting each other for be able to use more of the shield transporting. Fendel, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, at the moment, it's actually possible to set up a Basilisk with six large shield transporters, but it pretty much requires you to nerf the rest of the setup and use some rigs. So it can be done, but in practice, you would probably want to fit a tank also, maybe use the the energy transfer array, as you mentioned, have two that transfer cap back and forth to each other, and that would greatly help with the cap recharge. So that's probably the way to go.
Yeah, thank you. Next question is from Skrati Mantiro, and he or she asks, do exotic dancers on board cause overheating? And the answer to that question is, you are not your ship. Thank you. Next question is from Army of Me, and he or she asks, will there be any changes to NOS, which means Nosferatu? And the answer to that is no, no change will be coming in Revelations 2, because we did not have enough time or people in the balancing team for this release. We have been doing so everything we've been doing so far has been done in record time. And Nos and Fendel are both very new to the team, only been here for 1 and 2 months. And but Fendel has been working a lot of ideas, and I would like, Fendel, can you share some of your ideas with the community?
Oh yes, so one idea is that you could sort of base it on the percentage charge on the opponent. And also on your same charge level. So for example, if you have charged your capacitor to 30%, then you won't be able to drain the enemy below 30%. And that would sort of balance the Nosferatu to not act like a neutralizer, but it would still allow you to sort of leech cap off the enemy. So that's one implementation we're considering. A number of others, including signature radius-based solutions and stuff like that. But I think the one I mentioned is probably the best one we have for now.
Thank you. And on to the next question. 1 second. Well, I don't have that as a question, but maybe I'll just ask that question myself. Dear CCP, are there any more changes that you are planning for Amar? Fendal, can you answer me that question?
Yes, so one of the problems, in, other than the reliance on EM damage, is that Amar is very one-sided. It's basically just either tank or gank. So we would really like to introduce something, a new third element to Amar, and we're sort of pondering what that could be. Could be heat-related, or maybe Nosferatu-related, or energy drain-related. But we're considering our options in that regard. But other than that, from a balancing point of view, we're looking at beam lasers, which currently require quite a lot of grit to fit on some ships. So we're trying to figure out exactly whether we should reduce the grit on beam lasers, or whether we should revise some of the fittings on some of the MR ships, which have trouble fitting those beam lasers. So
thank you very
that's
much.
Basically it.
Thank you very much. And also maybe worth the mentioning is the kind of chips are also be getting redone at some point. And we'll just share more details on that with you later on. On to next question, and I have to continue digging up some here. Sorry how slow I'm at this, but yeah, well, a lot of people are asking this question, and I would just like to state the CCP view on this. And one, for example, asks, what is the value of the heat implementation? And he says it seems very limited, and to many it might seem a waste of time and useless hype. If it's something players want to use in emergency situations, something like 15% more damage for a few seconds seems pointless. Well, yes, of course, it seems pointless, but there are a lot of scenarios where a lot of players will be able to use it, and someday even you might say, thank you, Heat, for helping me killing this guy, because I really needed it this time. So, yes, Heat is not something you'll be using all the time. And we don't want that. Even though we want, you know, people to use as a last resort or last thing that you use to kill someone or defend yourself or whatever, and we still do not want it to be used every single time you're about to die or every single time you're about to kill someone. It's more something you have to evaluate for yourself. Like, okay, I'm already running out of cap right now, and I'm having problem dealing with tanking this guy, and if I can like just last a little bit longer to get into the out of the warp scrambling range because I haven't dual wiped or whatever, and you just burst out heat for a few more seconds of shield boosting or something like that, then it might get you out of there. And that is the idea with heat, that is not supposed to be used every single time you are in a little bit of trouble. So if 15% is enough or not for damage, for example, or 20% is it enough for shield boosting, well, we'll just have to see. And yeah, I don't have much more to say about that at the moment. And it's not supposed to be the game breaker of just changing all combat as you know it. So there you have it. Okay, I think these should just be the last words of our session, and I would like to thank you all for being here and listening to us, and thank you all for the questions, and may the god of your choice bless you all, and have fun, and happy expansion coming out very soon. Thank you all. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thanks for tonight.